You and I know that life hasn't been the same since March of 2020. In fact, some say that we're still in this longest month in history, about day 630 or so. You know, during this time, loved ones have died. There's an increase in depression, anxiety. Capable people have chosen not to work, thus putting the burden on those who see the need, especially in our medical profession. Businesses, restaurants, factories, all are suffering. And there's more of a polarization now in our nation, as well as in the Catholic Church. It sounds pretty bleak. Yet we're here today invited to put a stop to the noise of the world and focus on the miracle of Jesus coming into the world on December 25th, 1 BC. Why? While the birth of an infant may naturally produce joy in our heart at the sight of a new life, it goes much beyond the glad tidings of a newborn. Jesus is the one who gives us hope. To the people of Israel, he is the fulfillment of the promises of God. And to us, Jesus offers hope. God, being God, could have come into the world any way he wanted, right? He could have descended from the heavens with the clouds parting in a grand way. The nine choirs of angels trumpeting the announcement that God is in our midst. He could have walked on the earth exuding the glory, the majesty that was found in the transfiguration, blinding everyone he saw and thus making it for sure, okay, he's someone special. Yet Jesus Christ came to us in the same way all of us, every human being, were to come to this world. Through the womb of a mother, virgin mother, Mary, becoming like us in all things but sin. This infant Jesus was not born in a palace or in some kind of luxurious household. God came to us in the lowliness of a stable, a place where really the animals made their home. And shortly after that, we know of how Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to run and flee for their lives. The crazy King Herod wanted to kill Jesus, hearing from the Magi that Jesus would be king, and not knowing what that would mean other than him possibly being usurped from his throne, decided to seek his death. So Jesus Christ didn't receive this red carpet welcome. He who is the King of Kings didn't receive any kind of special treatment. From the very beginning, he experienced hardship. I think it's good for us to remember this when we lament at times and wonder if God is conscious at all about my plight, about the difficulties I face, the sorrows that I experience. He knows that all too well. And Jesus wasn't born in the world when the Jews were living it up, right? When the Jews were living in the land of milk and honey, when things were great, when that they were at their apex. They were under Roman rule, Roman persecution. They had to deal with the government. And with that, they were looking, pining for the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, to save them, to finally be the militant ruler, to free them from the grasp of the Romans. And that is the time that Jesus came. See, Jesus came into that world. And in that world, he offered hope. And so as we find ourselves in the midst of all these things that can lead us away from joy, that can lead us away from experience peace and happiness, that's filling us with frustration, confusion, doubt, Jesus Christ is still found in the midst of that, speaking hope. But just like the Magi, we need to seek him out. Oftentimes, people will say that they are looking for signs of God's love, So God, give me something that I may know that you are alive, that you are real. And yet how often do we take the time to focus on what is before us? On the fact that Jesus Christ came in the way that he did. He who is the majestic king of the created universe became this tiny baby. All for the sake of love. And no, not for the mushy sentiment of love. But for the love that would drive the greatest warrior into the greatest battle. Out of love for us. That he, as he came into the world, the small, tiny, and weak infant, came to blend in so as to be undetected by the enemy. As if God coming into the world, he went dark so that not even the enemy was aware of his presence. Of course, we know in sacred scripture there are passages which he had to deal with battle against the enemy. And as he did so in the desert in Matthew 4, you know, there are certain occasions where we think that maybe he might know something, but he really wasn't sure. That's why in the first two temptations, the devil phrased it, well, you know, if you are the Son of God, you know, of course, and Jesus never outrightly says he is to him. You know, he's a little coy with him, right? You know, Jesus uses his intellect to say enough, but still keep him unawares as to what the identity of Jesus truly is. Jesus would then later subject himself to betrayal, to scourging, and to the cross. All to remain camouflaged to the enemy. And once Jesus gave up his last breath, it was there that he pounced as an ambush predator. There for Jesus to infiltrate the domain of the enemy, take the hands of the just, and lead them with keys at hand to the gates of heaven. But the story doesn't end there. It continues with you. It continues with me. Jesus, in being born, has given us the precious opportunity to have a share in that life of blessedness and glory. If only we are willing to give up everything out of love for him. You see, in this world, we are so much faced with the desires that often vie for our attention. You know, it tells us just how exactly, huh, that we will receive joy, how we'll receive happiness. You know, and oftentimes it falls under the realm of that which provides instant satisfaction. And sometimes there's even something, it's even a longer period of time. You know, it's my work. It's a project I'm doing. You know, it's my goals in life. Not to say that these things shouldn't exist, you know, insofar as it's good and it helps us, helps our family, sure. But if they distract us from living in a way that is pleasing to God in godly ways, and if it causes us to throw away our morals, our faith, and say, well, I'm just doing it just for now, to climb the corporate ladder, to just be able to help and sustain my family, if we reject that, then we're rejecting Jesus. It's a very hard thing to hear, a very hard thing to say, but remains true nonetheless. Because Jesus Christ, you know, in giving everything of himself, looks for nothing less than our entire self. It must be entirely his. You see, when we make compromise with him, when we say, Jesus, you know, I'll give you this part of my life, you know, and that's all you'll have, and I'll have my cake and eat it too, we end up fooling ourselves. And that's how come it gets so hard at times, you know, when we're living life, you know, when we're experiencing the anxiety in the world. We start being confused. we start not knowing where it is that we should go. Should I abandon my faith? What is the faith? Isn't it a human construct? Isn't a fabrication of man? You know, we get these thoughts because we're losing our identity, right? And that's the culture, right? You can be whoever you want to be, right? Whatever you want to be, right? You can identify yourself however way you want to be, right? And it sounds good on paper, you know, because it sounds like liberty, it sounds like freedom. But when it is devoid of the reality of God and how He has shaped us, how He has called to be, how we are brought forth into being, how He formed us from the dust of the earth into life. When we forget that reality and forget of who we are, that's why it gets so easy to fall by the wayside and hear these things which sound right, that feel right, but they are devoid of truth. You know, such is the lie of relativism. You know, you do whatever you want to do. When Jesus Christ, you know, when He came into the world, He did so because He is the truth. Remember when He was before Pontius Pilate? You know, what did He ask him? You know, are you a king? Why did you come into this world? And He said, well, my kingdom is not here, but I am a king. And I speak for truth. Everyone who hears my voice understands truth. And so if the pursuit of our identity, and the pursuit of who we are, is devoid of the connection that is found in God, He who is the creator of the world, you and I, then it's no wonder that we find ourselves falling into despair, falling into anxiety, where the things of the world would just push us here and there, we go about the wind. We don't know where to go. We have no more compass, no more true north. Sure, we can fabricate our own piecemealing, our own ideals here and there, but they will fail. The purpose of Jesus' coming is to let us know where we will find the greatest depth and breadth of happiness, where our joy lies. And it's not to say that it's free from sorrow. I mean, all the things that I've outlined about our Savior coming into the world, gosh, you know. You would have think that would have been planned better. You know. Come in a time of milk and honey. Oh, gee, you know, let's check out the Red Roof Inn and see if they have an opening, right? You know, just something, right? But it was not. It was not. But God came anyways. And God comes to us to remind us that if He mounted the wood of the cross, He did that out of love for you, to remind you and I who we are, our identity. You see, unless we're aware of that, unless we're aware of our identity in Jesus Christ, unless we see that and experience that in our hearts and know that and are convicted of that, we'll always be searching, we'll always be grasping, it will never be enough. You see, we got the God-sized hole in our heart. Not because God has made it so that we feel somehow this tyrant is tying us to Himself. We got the God-sized hole in our heart because nothing else will satisfy. Nothing in this world will bring us the depth of peace that we long for. And until we find ourselves recognizing that truth and pursuing that with everything that we have, it's easy for us to get lost. Even if we already committed ourselves to being disciples of Jesus, to being Christians, to believing this to the point of death, if we day by day don't live that out, That's how the enemy can get to us. That's how he can cut us underneath. We find ourselves failing. We find our faith failing. We find that the pressures of the world is just too much. I want to run away. That's enough. That's enough. And the fact that Jesus Christ came to us in this way is to provide us with an avenue to consider that maybe this God does love us. Christian hope recognizes that God fulfills His promises. And while this world will fail to satisfy, God promises us unending glory with Him in heaven. The coming of the infant Jesus is not simply this cutesy way of showing us God's love. Rather, it is our God coming into this world to set things right, to do battle for us, to fight for us, to go dark, under the radar of the enemy, so as to give us the freedom that He desires us to have in daughters and sons of God. There is a lot that can bring us down. While the lasting peace and happiness we want is not found in this world, if we have Jesus in our heart, if we desire Him, we strive to live in a state of grace, we consume His precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, we consume His Word that is His love letter to us, and that helps challenges us, molds us, that will help form our identity, that will give us the true purpose, the true vision, the light by which we need, so that even in the midst of the trials of this world, we can confidently, boldly move forward. I think that's part of why, you know, we fail in living the life of faith. You know, we aren't confident enough in the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Just imagine that the Holy Spirit is this cute little dove, right? Just, oh, look at that. Don't poop on me, you know? And we forget about the fact that it's this fire, right? The fire that came forth, right, to the apostles, right? Huge gust of wind. And then pushed them, right? They were scared out of their skin to go out and profess the love of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. So is that what you want? You know, we're here for a number of reasons, right? Could be here because we feel this is the Catholic thing to do, right? It's Christmas, get your butt to Mass, right? We could feel as if, well, you know, I'm dating someone right now and I don't understand this thing, but I gotta go, right? I gotta be here. We may be here because, well, it's just the tradition. It's what family does. Whatever the case may be. If you desire that relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you desire to walk in that confidence, that power, ask for it. Ask for it. You know, Jesus Christ is alive. You know, we're not only celebrating His birthday, we're celebrating the fact that He has come into the world and He is here. And that should fill us with great delight. Enough to push out that darkness, that anxiety that's been building up, and to allow the Holy Spirit to give us that light that we need to move forward in confidence. You know, sometimes we hear how it's important that we have a safe place, a place that we can hide, a place that we can be away from all worry. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Sorry to burst your bubble. Right? In this world, that doesn't happen. But what does happen is that you and I can get stronger. You and I can push through that. You and I don't have to be stuck in that cowering position because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we walk in our true identity with Jesus, will emerge stronger, fueled by Christian hope, aware that he has fought for us and continues to fight for us until our last breath. Merry Christmas.